Anybody bring their Bible to the third service here? Bibles, Bibles, Bibles. All right, grab your Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, you're like, where in the world is Ephesians? Right after Galatians. You're like, wow, thanks. That really helps me a lot. Let's just do a survey quickly through the first few books of the New Testament to help you out. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels. The book of Acts is the story from the time Jesus rose from the dead. It tells you the story and the history of the first church. And then you get into Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then the prison epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. So Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read verses 1 through 4 in just a second. Is that okay if I do that? I know I've been gone for 2 weeks, and it's good to be back home. And I was telling the last service, when you preach in a really, really small town in Colorado, do you think there's a lot of diversity in that church or very little diversity? Never seen so many white people in one church in my life. It's good to be back home. Because this is what heaven's going to be like, right? Different colors of people, different ages of people, and it's good to be back home. You glad to be here? Yeah. All right, so if I haven't said this already, my wife and I are tag teaming the sermon, so I'm just going to preach for like 10 minutes. Then I'll get off the stage and it's going to get really good. Thanks a lot. All right, ready? Ready? Here we go. Verse 1 says, children. We have any children in the house? I'm not just talking like kids. I'm talking about like if you're even like my age anymore, or older than that. I'm a child, even though I'm a parent as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? You should kind of think about doing this. It'd be a good suggestion. Or no, this is what? This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. How many know that the Ten Commandments are super important? Three people. How many know that the Ten Commandments are super important? And of all the Ten Commandments, the first one that came with a promise is the one right here. Honor your parents, honor your father and your mother. And here's the promise, ready? So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy, what? Long life on the earth. So here we go. Let me just stop here. How many of you in the room would love to live a not only a long life, but a good life? Okay. Some of you don't have your hands up. And the option is you want to live a really short, brief life, and you want it to be miserable. Okay, come on, long life and good life, right? Okay, so here it is. The Bible says if you want to live that kind of like long quality and quantity, then you need to honor your parents. All the parents said amen in the house. And the verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate or provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. I'm primarily talking to men in the building. Where are the men at in the service, right? Where are the men at in the service, man? Come on, make some noise. Yes, there you are. And here's my point to you, but I'm primarily talking to you, but not solely. Ready? Here's the point you need to put in your notes. Point number one, ready? The title of the message is Good Advice. Here it is, Advice to Men. Advice to men. And I just want to talk for just a few minutes and then I'll get out of your way. I want to talk about, my good advice to you is this, that we need to learn how to honor. Someone say honor. 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 I was probably 10, 11, 12 years old and I've told you that my dad, how many had like an old school dad? Not like, hey, Stevie, you kind of messed up. Go over there and sit on the carpet for 3 minutes and think about it. No, we didn't. No, that was a foreign concept. Timeout did not exist in my home. How many don't want to talk about? We didn't have timeout. We had knock you out in the name of Jesus. That's how my dad rolled. And I didn't do this very frequently, but 3 or 4 times I popped off to my mom. I gave her a little attitude. It was a smart mouth comment. I don't even know what happened after I said something super disrespectfully out of nowhere. Like we were in the living room and then my dad came around the kitchen like, whoa, 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 bam. And I don't want to suggest this. I don't think this is good parenting. You might even get mad at the illustration. But all I know is when I backed, I gave her a little lip, a little attitude. My dad just like the whole ninja thing came across and with his whole hand, open hand, right across my face. Bam! I don't like getting smacked in the face. And it hurt. And I went into the bathroom and I can still feel this, like I can see his finger marks on the side of my face. Hey, I'm not condoning that. I'm just saying he sent a powerful message. And from that day forward, for better or for worse, my dad used to say this all the time. You ever say that to your mother again and disrespect her that way, I'll take you outside and I'll clean your clock. I don't even know what that means anyhow, but I just like, All right, that kind of scares me. So I learned a big lesson. Verse 2 says, honor your father and your mother. The word honor means to add value, worth, or weight to someone. Do you ever see these shows like a guy brings home like a baby crocodile and he raises it in his backyard in the pool? What are you doing? You're an idiot. It's a wild animal. Yeah, we got a lion, a little cute little lion or tiger. Yeah, until it grows up. And then you always hear the story like the alligator bit the guy. I'm like, you deserve it, you dumbo. Like, what? It's a wild, keyword, wild animal. You got to respect it. You got to give weight to it. It's got value. And in the same way, the text says, Paul says, hey, you want to live a long life and a good life, you need to learn to honor. I had a pastor ask me a couple weeks ago, what would you say are kind of the top 4 or 5 successes of your church? You started with 40 people and now you're like 4,000. And immediately I went to, one of our values is generosity. We got to be a generous people with our time, with our money, with our treasure and our talents, right? And we want to do the best that we can with the spirit of excellence, right? Because we have an excellent God who has an excellent name. So we believe that God deserves a spirit of excellence. But I couldn't stop at those two. I said, you know what? We've started, and we're not perfect, but from day one, we tried to create and maintain a culture of honor. We honor visitors. We honor people that come to our church. We honor different colors of people, ages of people. We honor senior citizens. We honor our greeters and our ushers and people that are rocking the babies in a classroom right now. We honor our worship team. We honor our pastors and our leaders. There's a general mutual respect and honor that we have for one another. Why? Because in the eyes of God, you are valuable. I am valuable. We have a lot of value, and we need to respect one another. And I want to ask the question, what has happened in our culture? We don't honor people anymore. I just give somebody peace of my mind. What are you talking about? Hey, Johnny, come here for a second. Can you come downstairs? What? Excuse me? You don't tell your dad or your mom, what? Wait, no, I'm not coming. You honor and you respect them. And all the parents said, amen. Let me just say this, parents. The reason why your kids don't respect and value you is because you haven't modeled it to them. Sorry for the sucker punch. You're like, amen, amen. Oh, sorry, yeah. And what is this about disrespecting our country and our servicemen and women and disrespecting the American flag? And well, I think the United States, hey, and you know there's a boat or a ship or a plane leaving the country every day that you could be happy to jump on today and get out of the country if you don't like it that much? And do we agree with everything? No, but check this out. As it relates to honor, honor is decided, not deserved. Let me say it again. Honor is decided. I decide beforehand. It's not necessarily deserved. You can have the worst boss on the planet. Doesn't mean that we agree with everything in the White House or in the city of Oxnard, but I decide beforehand, in the eyes of God, that person has value. I'm going to honor them in the name of Jesus. Come on. Our country, our nation, our government, one another. Romans 12:10, check this verse out. Be devoted to one another in love. Here it is. Honor one another. What? Say it with me. How are we supposed to honor one another? What? Hey, don't you think that that verse right there can probably solve every political dispute? Every marriage dispute, every family dispute, every workplace dispute, every school dispute, every racial dispute right there. If we would learn to honor other people as more important than ourselves. You get on the freeway today, somebody cuts you off. Why wouldn't they? They're more important than you. There you go. I know it's easy to preach. It's hard to live it out, but no. Oh. No, you're better. You're more important. You're probably in a hurry. I'm just kind of chilling right now. No, go. I want to honor you. You're more important than me. Let me just end, and then I'll get off the stage. You know, the time that we honor people the most is at a funeral. You been to a funeral? Actually, leading up to the funeral, a couple days before, the family's getting together, and they're writing they're writing an obituary that's going to go in the paper, right? And they're collecting their thoughts and they're writing things down that would really say some cool things about the person that passed away. And so it could be hours or a day that they'll spend. And how did you see Dad? And what did you think? And we're collecting our thoughts and we're thinking carefully about what we're going to write in the newspaper. And then we come to the service itself. And everybody dresses up really nicely, and we'll have five or six people that will come forward. And here's the word, eulogize the person, which means just to say a good thing about it. And we'll think carefully about what we're going to say to honor the person that passed away. And then after the service is over, we're going to go to somebody's house and have a meal. And we're going to talk about the influence and the impact that that person had in our lives. And I just want to say this. Why do we wait till the funeral? Why don't we wait till somebody's passed on till we make a decision to honor them? I say we start now. And I know in our culture it's not sexy to honor people, but let's go old school. I think men need to open up the doors for the women. Can I get a high-pitched amen in the house? And I think women should not berate their husband or berate men or berate their boss and respectfully speak to your husband with honor. One of the reasons why I knew my wife would be an awesome wife is because I saw the way she honored her father. And I say we bring honor back. You say, well, that's kind of like a Southern thing. No, it's a biblical thing. It's a biblical thing. So my advice to men and women and children, we need to honor one another. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. It's going to get really good. My wife's coming out on the stage. Put your hands together. Love you. Love you.
Amen. Let's bring honor back. Well, this morning, my point is advice for women. And I have a couple practical things, and then we'll get into God's word. So the first thing is, when I'm at Target and I see you don't have Cartwheel, it honestly kills me a little. So could you download the apps? If you're going to Habit or Vons or whatever, it's so easy now. It's all on your phone and you just scan away. So that's a first. And if you don't want to save the money, well then do it anyways and then give the money to missions or something like that. So that's my first point of advice. My second one is mainly for the younger moms with kids still at home. Because then I would have done this if I would have thought about it. But back in the olden days, you had a camera that you actually had to put film in. So now all you have to do is take your camera and take a few selfies. So take some selfies of normal everyday stuff, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. So my kids were the last three on the video. They're 21, 23, and 25. And don't judge me, but you know, they've gone to college, they've come back to college, they're in and out all the time. So I don't cook dinner very much anymore. Maybe if we're lucky, one time a week. And then on Saturdays, Steve will usually cook if we're there. So that's kind of been our routine this last year. There are young adults. I hung up my apron long ago. So we were complimenting Steve one Saturday on whatever he cooked. He's actually a really good cook. And my kids said to me, Mom, you used to never cook dinner. And I'm all, oh, yes, I did. I cooked every night. And I quote what your pastor's kids said to their mother, oh, no, you didn't. And I'm like, oh, yes, I did. I cooked dinner every single night, almost every single night. And I'm all, so that means you don't remember mashed potatoes, meatloaf, and corn, which you three kids said was the best meal you ever had and was our special dinner when Dad was gone? And they barely could remember it. So moms, you might not need to bring this out, but just take a few selfies and document, I make dinner every night. I do the laundry. See, I'm folding everything. I don't have time to get into the argument I had with my middle child, who the other two say is the favorite one, about the accusation that she made that I stopped making her lunches when she was like in the third grade. That is not true. So take a few selfies. But this morning, I know know life can be discouraging and disappointing. So I want to bring some encouragement from God's word this morning. Galatians 6:9 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." There's a blessing awaiting us if we just keep moving on, pushing forward, if we don't give in or give up. So my three sub-points this morning, my three advice for women, the first one is, don't give up on God. Maybe you've prayed and prayed for the same thing over and over again. Maybe things have been hard and you just don't understand what God is doing right now. Maybe you're feeling discouraged and feeling like, where is God in my situation? Some of you are facing really difficult circumstances. And I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what is happening, no matter what's going on in your life, God is with you, God is good, He will never leave you nor forsake you, He is with you, don't give up on Him because He will never give up on you. The enemy's job is to convince you and I, God doesn't care, you can't trust Him, He doesn't have time, and serving God is a waste of time. But the devil is a liar. God's ways are not our ways. We may not always understand, but that doesn't change the fact that God is good and God is for us. It may be hard. Trials are going to come. We're going to go through hard times, but we can draw near to Him. He wants to teach us some things. He wants to depend on Him and nobody else. So instead of running from God like Jonah did, run to Jesus. Colossians 1:11 says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience. Psalms 121:3 says, He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. He will not slumber. So don't give up on God. And number two, don't give up on yourself. How many of you have ever had those days that are just mundane? Maybe it's a little lonely, boring. It just feels like you wake up, go to work, come home. Some of you make dinner every night. You go to bed, and you do it all over again. Have any of you had those days where it's like, what in the world is this life all about? You're just disappointed in yourself and the way things have turned out. You lose your temper with your kids, your spouse, your coworkers. You think bad or wrong thoughts. You do or say things that are just dumb and you end up regretting it. And you beat yourself up. My kids will always be like that. My marriage will never change. My finances are never going to get better. Why can't I get it right? And then we are feeling bad about ourselves and we go on social media and we creep on people's Instagram or their Facebook page and we look at their perfect life. They're at Disneyland again. They have the perfect life, the perfect job, the perfect outfits, the perfect filters, and you look at their life and you compare it to yours, and it's just disappointing. But you don't realize that we're looking at their highlight reels. We're looking at what we think their perfect life is. And we look at ours and say, this is as good as it's gonna get. These are the cards I've been dealt. We often forget our value and our identity is rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any other powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God." Live with the confidence that God is madly in love with you. Believe only what He says about you. And in His word, He says in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're incredible. We're awesome. We're His creation and His beloved. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope, and to bless you and not to harm you." So we need to realize that God is for us. Our past is not our future. Our failures don't define us. Our issues don't define us. What people say or think about us does not define us. So we need to tell ourselves, I will never give up because God's plans for me are good. He has more for my life than I could have ever imagined. It doesn't matter how old I am. The best is yet to come. God is for me, not against me, and that he loves us more than we could ever possibly imagine. So number one, don't give up on God. And number two, don't give up on yourself. And finally, don't give up on your family. Our families are our biggest blessing, and they can also cause our biggest heartbreak. I always dreamed of playing house or being a wife and a mother, and my sister and I would play house together. Our mom names, she was Barbara and I was Bonnie, I think. I don't know where those names come from, but we would play house, and we all know that playing house is much different than real life. Playing house, my kids always did what I told them to. I slept all night and I had so much money. I paid every bill and bought everything I wanted, but playing house is not real life. And sometimes raising my kids, I was just disappointed. I did the best that I could. I wanted to point them to Jesus in everything I did, but there's so many times I lost my temper. Sometimes I was too easy, other times I was too hard, and sometimes I was selfish and I only cared about myself. And chances are you felt the same way at times. But there's two things that you and I can do so we don't give up on our families. One is pursue peace. Romans 12:18 says, it is possible, as far as it depends on me, to live at peace with everyone. So you know what? With our families, we've got to forgive. We've got to offer second chances. We got to offer some fresh starts. We can't write them off too soon. We don't always have to be right about everything, and we need to say we're sorry quickly and often. There may have to be some boundaries you set, and I'm not saying to tolerate abuse or mistreatment, but don't give up for your families. Don't give up believing that a miracle is around the corner. Stand firm on the promises of God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the second thing you can do is to fight for your family. Nehemiah 4:14 says, then I looked over the situation. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Sometimes we forget who the enemy is. But don't be afraid of the enemy. The enemy wants nothing more than for us to stop talking, stop loving, and for our families to fail. But today we can say we are going to fight for our families, and we know who the enemy is for, who the enemy is, and his name is greater than any other name. You know, it wasn't easy for us starting a family. We had miscarriage number one, and we prayed. Miscarriage number two, and we prayed and prayed, and miscarriage number three, we began to fight. Steve and I looked up every single verse we could find in the Bible on blessing and promises and children, and we wrote those verses down, and we prayed those verses over our lives. We fasted, we met on our lunch break and sat in our little red Jetta, and we prayed those verses over our lives. I remember crying and praying to the Lord, Lord Jesus, please give me a baby. I just want a baby, Lord. Please give me a baby. But just not in December, because my birthday's in December, and it's just too hard to have a baby in December. But please, God, give me a baby. And we fought in our prayers, and we stood on the promises of God, and God answered our prayers, and Riley's due date was November 30th. He brought us right up to that deadline, and she was born in November. God answered our prayer. My friend Linda, she was a single mom, raising her son the best that she could. She prayed for her son. He walked away from the Lord. She prayed for him 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and more. She got discouraged along the way. It was hard to hold on, but she fought for her son, and she kept praying for him and believing God to rescue him. It wasn't until he was 30 years old that God brought him back to his family. And now for the last 20 years, I think it's been, that he has been a testimony of the power of prayer. Let's not give up. Even though the answer is not in our timing, sometimes the answer isn't even what we want. We might get weary, but when we are weary, when we are weak, he is strong. So don't give up fighting for your family. God is working in ways we cannot see, and a miracle is on its way. This morning, I want to end with telling you a true story about Peter Richley. It's probably the strangest survival story on record, and you will question if it's true, but it's a true story. The year was 1820, and Peter Richley was running from his old life in England. He was dissatisfied with his uneventful, boring life, and he set off for Australia. The ship he was traveling on sank. Everyone perished except for Peter. A second ship came by and rescued him. He was on that ship and something happened and that ship sank. A third ship rescued him again. Another storm hit and that third ship sank. Believe it or not, a fourth ship found him in the water and unbelievably rescued him. But while they were on this long journey, that fourth ship sank and a fifth ship rescued him again. Believe it or not, I'm not making this up, but that fifth ship sank. It's a tongue twister. Fifth ship sank. On the high seas, he floated with this peaceful confidence that somehow God did not want him to die. For hours on end, he looked and there was no ship on sight. But sure enough, the sixth ship came through and rescued him once again. The crew pulled him up and they got him on the ship. They provided dry clothing. The doctor of the ship gave him a thorough exam, and believe it or not, he was given a clean bill of health. Close to arriving at the harbor, the captain came to Peter and he said, "Peter, I have a favor to ask you." Peter said, "You saved my life. I'll do anything you ask me to do." He said, "There's an older woman on our ship that has won the hearts of the crew, and we really love her. She had a ticket to go to Australia, but has become very ill. She hasn't eaten. She's delirious with a fever. She comes in and out of consciousness, but all she says is, 'Oh God, oh God, please let me see my son. Oh God, please let me live to see my son.' And she'll fade out of consciousness. And then she'll come back, barely able to speak. 'Oh God, please let me see my son.' See, she knows all of us, the crew, but you're the only newcomer. So would you pretend to be her son so she can leave this world in peace?" Peter, of course, agreed. And he walked in the room. The ship's doctor was there and gently pushed him towards the woman. He looked down into her face and he said, "I'm here. I'm here, Mom. It's me." He broke and began to weep because laying there in that bed was his mother, Sarah Richley. He hadn't seen her in 10 years. And he broke and he wept. "I'm here, Mom, I'm here." Seated at the, he wouldn't leave her side at that point. Within a few days, she recovered from her illness, and there, seated on the edge of her bed, was her son, Peter Richley. Could it be that five ships didn't take him down because of the power of a praying mother? Could it be that her son was living and ultimately revived her because God had something in store? Because the mother said, "I am standing on the promises of God. I'm leaning into him. I am not giving up. Oh God, let me see my son." Peter embraced the faith of his mother because of the miracles that had happened in his life. So many of us, there is so much heartache in our lives at times. And we obviously aren't physically drowning this morning, but some of us are spiritually drowning or emotionally drowning. The weight of the burdens we carry is too much. But this morning, let's give those burdens to our burden bearer, the one who wants to carry it all. Let's stand on the promises of God and let's not give up. Let's be people who will fight with the word of God and know who our enemy and believe that a miracle is along the way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to invite everyone to stand with me this morning. And if you would close your eyes and pray with me. And if you're one of those that are here today and you just feel like the weight and the pressures are just mounting on your life, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray with you this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, we are so thankful for your amazing, incredible love. Lord, we are so thankful that we can stand on the rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, we are so thankful that there is no other name but Jesus. So Lord, we lift up your name above our circumstances. We lift up your name above our family. And so Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us when we are weak. And Lord, would you enable us? Would you help us when we aren't strong to stand in the strength and on the promises of your word? Lord, would we be people that would fight for our families, that we would believe your word, and that we wouldn't give up, Jesus, no matter how difficult it is at times, Lord. We thank you that you are with us, that you are leading us, and that you will never, ever forsake us. We love you so much, Jesus, and we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're standing, let's worship the Lord before we leave this morning.
Oh.